Hey, everybody. Good afternoon. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. Happy to have you with us today. Pastor Ron, good afternoon, sir.
Good Friday afternoon, Dwight. How are you today?
I tell you, I'm anxious, chomping at the proverbial bits to get back into what we were talking about last week.
Man.
We're looking in the book of John, one of those books in the Bible that that talk about when Jesus was on the earth. And John had a purpose and a mission in his book. And that was when folks read his account of Jesus' life, he wanted them to be able, Pastor Ron, to come to only one conclusion, that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. Mm-hmm. He said, I want anybody who reads this, they can only come to that conclusion. And for that reason, he included, as we talked about last week in his writing, he included those seven great miracles, starting with the turning of water into wine at the wedding, all the way to the raising from Lazarus from the dead. And also, Pastor Ron, in that book, Jesus made what we're calling those I am statements. And I'll reference this one once again very briefly, because folks remember it. Moses was on the backside of the desert. He saw the burning bush, and God said to him, basically, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Moses said, I can't even talk plain, Lord. What are you talking about? Who am I going to say sent me? And God said, tell Pharaoh that I am sent you. So that was God talk. Well, Jesus used that same kind of language,
yes,
in these statements. And he was basically saying, God was saying, tell him God sent you. So when Jesus was saying, I am, he was basically saying, I'm God. And he was. Mm-hmm. All man without ceasing to be God. But naturally, that didn't go over with the religious and political leaders at the time. Mm-hmm. So, but what we've been doing is walking through these I am statements a bit and talking about not only the fact that Jesus made them, he was declaring himself God, but what they mean to us today in 2020, mm-hmm, in a very practical way. And we've looked at the statement, I am the bread of life. We explored last week the statement, I am the light of the world. And let's move to okay, another statement, sure, then, if you like to. Jesus also said in the book of John, he said, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. Mm. I am the door. I am the door. Talk about what you think he's saying there when Jesus says, I'm the door.
Well, he obviously, Dwight, you know, we come into the earth through natural birth, and we're born into the earth. And, you know, Jesus told John, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus is the doorway into that. And as we were talking about in one of the sessions, I can't remember which one it was, about him being the bread of life, you know, he is also the door into the kingdom of God. If people can't understand this, but if without Jesus, we could not enter the kingdom of God. We could not be born again. That's obvious from the Old Testament. The Old Testament saints weren't born again. They weren't. You know, I don't want to offend anybody, but they weren't Christians. They couldn't have been little Christ because he had not died yet. He'd not been crucified. He'd not raised from the dead. The people that accepted Christ after his resurrection have entered into the kingdom of God. And that's why it's so vital in people's lives today to accept Christ and to recognize his substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. You know, Dwight, I tell the inmates down at the jail sometimes, I say, you know, God is holy and just, and he demand hit any judge would not have any power if they were crooked. I mean, ultimately, we see that obviously from time to time where some judge does something that's sinful and crooked and they get exposed and then they lose their power, they lose their authority. Well, God, in his reign, is the most holy and just being that ever existed. Now, if you could imagine, that has to be satisfied. That holiness and justice has to be satisfied. And the God, being as wise and loving as he is, knew man could never satisfy that. Mm. And men are still trying to satisfy that and killing themselves in the process by never entering into the rest of God or the doorway that Jesus made. They're trying by their own effort, their own works, to be good enough. And Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except, yeah, by me. I am the door. I am the doorway. And so, accepting Christ means that you're accepting his substitutionary sacrifice on the cross to pay the penalty for every sin that you ever committed, past, present, or future. Accepting him is basically saying, Jesus, I'm going to walk through the doorway.
Entrance.
The entrance that you, yeah, provide for me.
And yeah, that is so, and because that's what a door does, it gives you entrance.
Yes.
And he said, I am not one of the doors.
No.
I'm not one of the interstates. I'm not one of the state. I am the door.
Yep.
I am the door. If you want to enter into a relationship with God, into the kingdom of God, I'm the way to get there.
Yep.
And let me just say, and by saying, yes, God, I recognize that I am a sinner. Jesus, you are the Son of God. You paid that price, substitutionary sacrifice, like you said. You died. Your spirit left your body. You went to hell itself so I wouldn't have to go. You did that for me. You became sin so that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I choose to enter that door. Now, and here's where I am, Pastor Ron. I'd love to get your comments on this. By the way, we are happy to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen, Living Hope Church, and we're talking about the great I am statements that Jesus made about himself in the book of John. I am the door specifically. But and so, and now we have in Christendom, we have lots of denominations. We have, we could name a whole list of them right here. And maybe from denomination to denomination, there's various doctrinal differences about how things are seen or believed or taught or that sort of thing. But where I am in my life is if those folks under that shingle or whatever it is we want to call them believe that Jesus is the only way to God, that he is the door, that you can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and only through the completed work of Jesus Christ, then we got a basis for fellowship.
Yes,
we might not see everything else eye to eye, but anybody who's doing anything to advance the kingdom of God, believing that Jesus is the way to God, is good in my book.
And Dwight, And I agree 100%. I think there's been too much fussing and fighting about denominations. It's like a family. You know, you take a family, there may be five brothers or sisters. They may all go different directions. It doesn't mean one's right and the other's wrong.
Yeah.
It just means they're going the direction that they feel like they need to go. And that's the same way it is with the denominations, you know. People have always asked me, which one do I go to? Who's right? The Methodist, Baptist, Church of Christ, Pentecost, who's right? Well, they're all right. And, it's like as long as Jesus is Lord and they're proclaiming him as the doorway, which most of the mainline denominations are doing that, I agree 100%. We can fellowship around that. You know, and I think when people are proclaiming that Jesus is the door, when he says, I am the door, basically they're saying he's the entrance. He's the way. He's the way to get to the Father. He's the way to get into the kingdom of God. Through what? Through his blood. Just like the Passover, you know, when the children of Israel put the blood of the lamb over their doorpost, that is representative of Jesus being the door. I am the door. The death angel couldn't come through. He couldn't get to him because they were protected in that place by the blood of the lamb. Just like we are protected by the blood of the lamb that's on the doorpost, so to speak, the doorway that we walk through to go to the kingdom of God.
And you know, that is the key. That is here, you think about that, and that we've talked about identity a lot in our church lately, is that when we as Christians, if we establish our identity in that, you know, I talk to people in my role as a hospice chaplain a lot about their relationship with the Lord, and I ask them, you know, I'll ask them from time to time, you know, are you a Christian? Do you know Christ? And so, well, I'm trying to be. I say, what do you base that on? Well, I've never hurt anybody, never been in jail, never this, that, and the other, took good care. That's not the door.
No, that's not the door.
It's better to do good things than bad things. I would agree with you about that. But the door is to, I love the way you say it, Pastor Ron, is to accept your acceptance.
Yes.
God has accepted you. Now you just received personally into your life by grace through faith, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. I was with a fellow today, Pastor Ron, and he had just received Christ about a week ago in bed by himself.
Wow.
And I met him for the first time today. He was a patient of ours. And I said, I'm meeting you for the first time. They tell me you're pretty sick. I said, are you a Christian? Love the Lord? And he said, if you died today, where are you going? He said, I'm going to heaven. And I said, well, what do you base that on? And he said, I base that on the fact that I prayed and I asked God to forgive my sins. And I asked Jesus to come in my heart as my Lord and Savior. I received him into my heart. And I said, that's what the scriptures say you need to do. And he said, and I have never, and this gentleman probably up in 70, something like that. And he said, I've never, in the last week of my life, I've never had so much peace, so much happiness, so much in my life. He said, I'm sitting here in this bed, but I've never felt better, never had so much peace, never had so much things going on in my mind that I have in the last week of my life, because he accepted Jesus Christ as the door.
Wow.
Yeah, the door.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's the truth, because these all, you know, all the moral things are good. Like you said, it's great to be moral. It's great to be not to be a liar. It's great not to go to jail. It's great not to do something wrong. But if you stand before the Lord and say, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, you're lost. That's not the door. You cannot be your own door.
Yeah.
You know, you got to walk through the door that Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. I am the way to get to the Father, to go into the kingdom. And basically, Dwight, he said, you know, in one passage there, unless you humble yourself like the camel, you can't go through the eye of the needle. And what he's saying there, those camels would have to go through those gates of the city, but they'd have to unload all their stuff.
Yeah.
They couldn't fit through unless they unloaded all their stuff. And a lot of times our stuff is trying to be good enough, right enough, look good, smell good, act good, and everything. But he said, no, you got to lay down all your stuff, and then you can go through the eye of the needle that way.
I love the fact, Pastor Ron, that we can't be good enough on our own to have a relationship with God, to be a son or daughter of God, or go to heaven. But we can't be bad enough to be kept out.
No.
Because it's not based on our performance.
Amen.
It's based on going through, I am the door, going through that door.
And when you go through that door, I mean, that door is one more. He said in Ephesians, he seals us with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's amazing. The blood covers us. We are blessed of God. I mean, I've been on the other side of that door, Dwight.
Yeah, I've been on the outside looking in.
I've lived on the other side of that door, and I'm so glad I walked through that door. Amen.
Yeah. So Jesus said, I'm the door of the sheep. We're talking about, on the Local Matters today, the great seven I am statements that Jesus makes about himself in the book of John, and specifically what they mean to us today in terms of our relationship with God, in terms of our growing that relationship, in terms of eternity. Jesus also said, and we've got about a minute till we have to take a break here, but I'll just kind of toss this out and we can think about it during the break. But Jesus also said, I am, and I love this. He always says, thee. He doesn't say one of many. He refers to himself as I am, and then the. And the next one we're going to talk about is I am the resurrection and the life.
Yeah.
And that's a good one.
Well,
and
that's a good one.
You stay with us. We'll be back to explore that one in just a moment right here on Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Hey, we're back on Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church here in Cookeville. We are considering those seven great I am statements that Jesus made about himself in the book of John. Specifically, is basically he was declaring himself God, and he was God. Mm-hmm. All man without ceasing to be God, come so that we could have a relationship with God, died, his spirit went to hell itself so we wouldn't have to go. And he said, I am the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I am the door. And we start to look at now this statement that Jesus made about himself and consider what it means to us as we live our life today. Pastor Ron, Jesus also said, I am the resurrection and the life.
Mm-hmm.
What's that mean?
Well, and Dwight, you know, when you think about resurrection, man, you know, first you have to think about the crucifixion. You have to think about what Jesus became. You know, he became sin with my sin. He became sin with every person sent on the earth that was ever going to be born or ever lived on the earth. He became sin for all mankind. And just like he became sin by faith, literally he had to become sin by faith because he never knew sin. He never committed sin. He never committed a sin. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, he was made to be sin with our sin. We're made to be righteous with his righteousness and his righteousness alone, not our good works, not our ability. It's his righteousness that's been gifted to us. And so when you think about that, you think about him being made to be sin and the power of the resurrection that raised him from the dead, Dwight. God didn't just raise him from the dead because of one man, as a result of one man's sin. He raised him from the dead over the power of all man's sin. Wow. And Jesus was raised from the dead out of that darkness, out of that pit, out of that, and it, you know, and Ephesians says that he fills all things. He went to hell for us, but he also went right up to the throne of God. And I ask my students a lot of times at Bible school, why do you think he filled all things? Why was he raised? Why did he go to hell? Matthew 11:40 says that Jesus, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. But he went to hell. Then it says he ascended to heaven. But why did he do that? He did that to fill all things so we wouldn't have to. So we don't have to be under pressure to be everything, to do everything, to become. We don't have to be under pressure for all this stuff. Our identity is found in him and him alone. And so when we talk about resurrection and life, we're talking about the power of God that could raise a sinner that Jesus became sin with from the dead, even in the middle of that darkness, even in the middle of that pit of hell. God went down. Glory to God. I preach myself happy here.
Wow.
In Hebrews chapter 1, he declares, God declares what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. He went into the very bowels of earth itself and declared Jesus as the righteousness of God. Because of God's will and the faith that Jesus had in God, God declared him righteous. Jesus was raised up with a scepter of righteousness in his hand as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But that resurrection power, Dwight, is the power of God. And what we have to comprehend, what we have to get a hold of, it's not just the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's if God can raise Jesus from the dead with the sin of the whole world, he can raise us up in our problems
too.
There you go. He can take care of our situations as well.
You know, I think there's so many things that go across my mind, Pastor Ron, as you were sharing that. And, you know, and one of them, it just leaps out at me. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us.
Yes.
I mean, we're the
Romans chapter 8. Yes.
We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Christ in us is our hope of glory. We have this because of the work of Jesus Christ, because he is the resurrection and because he is alive. We have the same access to God the Father as Jesus.
Yes.
We are, hey, joint heirs.
Hallelujah.
Joint heirs. And that's what, and that's all a part of what that means. And I can't help but think about too. My mind went there where you were talking. Also, is that Jesus? You know, the whole thing, just him coming to earth was just. I mean, he became poor in that respect, coming to earth. I mean, not necessarily materially poor, but he was. You know, compared to heaven, the earth, and no matter the best place on earth, is small potatoes compared to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But and the crucifixion, the cat of nine tails on his back, 39 stripes, the crown of thorns, pulling the beard, drinking vinegar, being whipped, hung up on a cross. But in my thinking, the worst moment had to be is when Jesus made some statements from the cross before his spirit left his body. It's when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he died a sinner's death.
Mm-hmm.
He not only died for us, he died as us.
He did.
Jesus became sin.
He never committed it.
No.
But he took it.
By faith.
Yes.
Yeah, he took it.
Yes.
And so I mean, and he did all of that because of his great love for us. And then his spirit literally went to hell itself.
It did.
And then God raised him from the dead after 3 days. And he did that because he loved us so much. And he said, now you just accept personally this resurrection and the life, and you do it by grace through faith, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. You take it. It's up to you. I love you too much not to give you a choice. I'm going to honor your choice while you're on this earth and bring to you everything that Christ and the Holy Spirit can bring to you while you're here, which is the best life you can have. And I'm going to honor your choice all the way through eternity because he is the resurrection and the life.
Dwight, you know, you think about his resurrection and you think about you just think about the power involved in that. And you think about, I mean, the scripture says when he was raised from the dead, even some of the Old Testament saints were resurrected and went around about Jerusalem preaching.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the power of that resurrection? And the word of God says that same power is within us.
Yeah.
That same power is on the inside of us if we've accepted Christ into our lives. If we've accepted this by faith, that same power is there. But you know what? Paul gave us a real insight here, something that will really hinder that power. And in Philippians 3, he said, I have all my pedigrees. He said, I have all my family history. He said, I've been circumcised. I've been taught in the best schools. I have all this. But he said, I count it as dung that I might know him and the power of his resurrection.
Yeah.
See, he's saying if we're not careful, we can let social class, we can let economic class, we can let everything rob us of that resurrection power. And that resurrection power is much more precious than anything we've ever achieved.
Yeah.
But what he's saying there, what Paul is saying there, I refuse to allow anything I have personally done, good or bad, to rob me of this resurrected power.
Wow.
I count everything as dung. And while we've got
and to we know what dung is.
Yes, we do.
D-U-N-G.
Yeah, D-U-N-G.
Not D-O-N-E,
right.
But D-U-N-G. Yeah, yeah. Google that if you don't know what it is. Google it. Yeah.
It'll show you, right?
That's right.
And so he said, I counted all that I might know him.
Yeah.
And the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
Well, what a statement. What a hard attitude.
Yeah.
That I might suffer with him, that I might be counted as nothing so that I can experience that resurrection power.
Hey, we're glad you're with us this Friday afternoon. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. We're looking at the 7 great I Am statements that Jesus made about himself in the book of John. And we were just talking about, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus also said, Pastor Ron, in John chapter 10, and this is a powerful statement too, and has such direct application on us today as we live our lives. He said, I am the good shepherd in John chapter 10, starting at verse 11. I am the good shepherd.
Yeah.
What is a good shepherd, and why is it important to have a good shepherd, and why was Jesus the good shepherd?
Well, you know, David said in Psalms 23, Dwight, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And one of the things about having a good shepherd, he'll take you to the place that you have no want.
Yeah.
And he said there in that psalm, he said, he'll lead me by still waters and green pastures. And I've always said that's peace and plenty, that the Lord will always lead you that way. He's a good shepherd. And, you know, Peter in 1 Peter 5, he says, Jesus is the great shepherd of all the shepherds. In other words, he's over all the pastures. If the pastors will let Jesus, he will shepherd you to the place that even though you have a church full of crazy people.
Not that anybody does.
No, not that anybody does. They won't drive you crazy. Not that anybody
and all
has
the
any,
pastors said amen. Yeah,
right. Not that anybody ever has any problem with people, but you know, Pastor Eddie Turner, a great pastor that used to pastor in Cookeville that now pastors in Murfreesboro, he always used to say, pastoring would be easy if it wasn't for people. And that's the truth. But Jesus is that great shepherd that even the pastors go to, even the leaders of churches, Dwight, go to, and they recognize, Lord, I love these people, but I can't carry their care. You're their shepherd. You're the great shepherd of the sheep, not me. I'm an underling. I'm just here to represent you, to do your bidding, to help you, to minister your word. But Lord, you're the great shepherd of the sheep. You are the one that gave your life for these sheep. I can never die for these sheep. You died for them. I can only try to live in you to serve them and be what they need me to be in their life to help and minister to them. But see, if every pastor has that attitude, then they're going to be more effective in ministering to the sheep because Jesus will give you the words. He'll give you the direction. He'll tell you when to back off. He'll tell you when to press in. But we have to come to a place as pastors to think, but we're not the end all. You know, pastors aren't the end all. We're simply the shepherds under the great shepherd.
He
is the great shepherd. We're the under shepherds. And so when we think about the great shepherd, Dwight, you know, one of the things that we have to recognize is release. We have to, every one of us have to release to the great shepherd. You know, when he said he would lead.
Not just pastors.
Yeah, not just pastors.
Yeah.
When he said, I will lead you on paths of righteousness.
Yeah.
Have you ever walked down a path? Paths are usually not just a straight line.
Yeah.
They go around curves, maybe up hills. You know, when the shepherds were leading the sheep, they would take them to different pastors at different times of the year, and there would be curves and hills and things they'd have to go through. Those paths are not always sometimes the most comfortable things. You have to follow the shepherd down the path. And so when he says he's the great shepherd, He's going to lead us down paths of rightness in our lives to get us to the green pastures and the still waters if we will follow him. The scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If there's want there, we have to ask ourselves, are we really letting the great shepherd of the sheep shepherd us?
Been rich.
Amen, Dwight.
Let's do it again.
Amen.
Hey, happy to have you with us. Join us next week, same time, for Local Matters.